Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by generous contributors like you. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions.
The Holy Spirit is so powerful. If you could just get in touch with the Holy Spirit, you'd be amazed what can happen to you.
Dr. Williams picks up right where he left off as he offers up part two of There's Nobody Like Him. And he teaches that true peace can never come from man. It can only come from God.
Congress, President Trump, Governor Brown cannot make peace for us. Peace comes from God. And God didn't tell us he's going to leave the world peace. He said to his disciples, I give you peace, my peace.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully in his 47th year here at St. Paul, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Easter Sunday. Join us at 9 a.m. for General Assembly Sunday School in our sanctuary, followed at 9:30 with a wonderful Easter play from our beautiful children, and then at 10 a.m. our Easter service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Jude, verses 24 and 25. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
We appreciate them very much for their presence and their presentation. One of the great things I like about observe young people as they're growing up, you can tell they don't have attitudes. Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk to the lights. I talk to any of these young people, they don't have, they smile, they act happy. If you keep that up when you get to be an adult, Amen. You might not have a heart attack. Amen. Now that's the doctor. The doctor says many of our illnesses is upon us because of our pressure inside. If we can control inward pressure, we could do a lot of other things for ourselves. Amen. I guess the reason I'm always so concerned about people because they had me dead twice. And the first time it was very difficult. But I said, if God brought me through twice, at least I have something I should be saying. It's good to see you here today. Everybody looks well. Waiting for Easter, and there's no such thing in the Bible, but we talk about it. Easter is not in the Bible. Easter eggs is not in the Bible. Easter dressing is not in the Bible. Amen. That's a whole lot of history that was given to us that is not biblical, but there's nothing wrong with it to practice it. Amen. Also, drinking is not in the Bible. Be ye filled with the who? Can't have them both at the same time. I don't know why. Ever so often, person that I go someplace with other people, and these are not church people, and when they get all of their drinks, they said, "You're not drinking." So no, I'm sorry. I don't care for anything. And I noticed they don't drink theirs.
Right.
I'm not going to do that stuff to get along with people. If I can, I want to get along with Jesus.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is so powerful. If you could just get in touch with the Holy Spirit, You'll be amazed what can happen to you. Amen. Amen. Now, I promised you that a couple weeks ago, that I would bring you part two of the sermon. The title was, There's Nobody Like Him. Nobody. I'm going to give you some in way of introduction. Go into that. If you would stand and turn to Jude. Now, Jude is in the Bible. A lot of people don't even know that. And turn to Jude, it's chapter 1, it's verse 24 and 25. Jude, chapter what? And it's 20. Let us read it with some energy. Remain standing. I am what sink and deep in sin, far from them. There. But. If you study the scriptures, that the writer of that song, he got that part of it from, or the song itself came from him, because he was one of those persons. He was sinking at one time, and God sent his son, and his son lifted him. I see, because of my participation, a lot of people that I, outside of this church, I'm involved with, and I notice sometimes how sophisticated they think they are, or how they feel, Percy, that I just had this thing with six or seven people. We're doing something for the community. And all through the introduction, three of those people, all they talked about, well, you know, I have a master's in communication in it. And, you know, my master would take me wherever. You lie. I know some place you can't go if you had 16 PhDs. Because they're not going to let you come there. The issue is we have to learn. St. Paul, I give you the best information I have. That's from the Bible. You have to learn that education, no. That the best thing you can get in life is to get to know Jesus first. Then when you get to know Jesus, the next is academics. Because I know people never even seen they never even seen a degree and has done much better than a whole lot of degree people that I know. I knew a man who owned 16, what you call those hotels you used to go to, the small ones. What's the name of them? Motel. He owned 16. Can't read. But listen careful. Wisdom is given to you through God. And it is designed if you follow wisdom, wisdom would move you higher and higher and higher over your degree you got from Stanford. I'm not knocking degrees. I'm just saying, don't rely on nothing outside of Jesus. Amen. And I like to remind people about that. Right, many of you in this church know that. Many people treated me extremely bad when we was trying to erect this building, the leading of the Holy Spirit. I did not respond, but I laid over here on the ground. Remember, Percy? I laid on the ground communicating with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, you sitting up in here not comfortable. You cannot beat God. No matter how you try. I said yesterday, somebody would be bickering about some stuff they couldn't. I said, I don't want to talk about that. I said, that's past tense. I said, if my daddy went to the sixth grade and built a house when he got through, it was paid for, I learned something from that man. You missed it. I said it was paid for. He didn't owe nobody. But he had wisdom, so he didn't have a contractor. He hired men to build the foundation. He had men to put the sides on the house. He had another group of men, to deal with the blocks. He had another group of men to put the tin on the roof. He had another group of men to put the windows in, and he paid them as they finished, Tommy. We got 16 degrees, and we owe everybody in New York. Are you listening to me? You just got through reading. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody. And I'm going to say this, and I know I'm going to get some letters. If you don't sign them, don't mail them. Yeah, this is on the air. Friends, listen very careful. Very careful. Many of you sitting in this church this morning, God has given to you something to do. But you're so worried about your friends, you won't do it. So you miss your blessings. You miss them. I was 14 years old, and I wanted to go to New Orleans. I was 93 miles from New Orleans to see my grandmother. And I remember something, you can't go down there, it's too bad. And I talked to my parents. My mama said, you go on the early train. I went and stayed a week. They came back and said, how was it? I said, yeah, how it was. And Pepper, I can tell you this, because you won't take it out of context. I came back with a tailored suit on. It was gray pinstripe. I was not only afraid, I brought something back with me. That's what God will do for you. Stop letting folks kill your dreams. Many church people are dream killers. Say amen, Carl. So just tell them, pray for them, and move on. Amen. You don't have to say amen to the truth. I got to preach the truth if I die. And the reason, because he is with me. The Holy Ghost is with me. You might not believe, but I know it. Let that sink in. Man walked up to me and said, I'm going to have to let you go because you say you can't work overtime and you won't drink. I said, do what you have to do, but I'm not going to drink, and I'm not going to work on Sunday. You told me I didn't have to, not you changed your mind, but I hadn't changed mine. And in about 3 months, Al, he got fired, and I stayed there. You see, you can't see the power of the Holy Spirit, but his power is working. If somebody talking about a wonder-working power, it is wonder, but it's working. And listen what it says. It says, It says, my brothers and sisters, the gracious work of preservation. It's gracious. Notice verse 24 you just read. Now, you got through? Now, unto him. That's Jesus Christ to him. My friend, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. The security of the believer is the word that is spoken of in the gracious work of preservation. Church, this is one thing that God is able to do. He is able to keep us from stumbling. You see, in regard to salvation, it is not our responsibility, I told you that a few weeks ago, to be saved. But it is not our responsibility to stay saved. Listen now, I'm talking about your theology. That is, once we are saved, it is not our responsibility to go to heaven. It is God's work from the start to the finish. He doesn't need any help talking about going to heaven. And somebody said, well, I hope I go to heaven. And I don't talk much longer to those kind of people. Why would I hope I'm going to heaven when Jesus died for me and forgiven me of my sins? Amen. Listen, church. Jesus, God the Father, he began the work, and so he is under obligation to finish the work. He is not depending on me to bring me to heaven. No way. No way can you put me back under my used to be sins. Used to be was died on the cross. Amen. My friends, so when you talk about this stuff, if it was possible for a Christian to fall from grace and lose their salvation, then that would imply that there was a flaw with the grace of God. Help me today. Sam Gordon said, we do not fall from grace, we fall into it. Church, this is because salvation is completely, totally, and unreservedly the work of God from start to finish. I said this all the time to the other denomination. You can't tell me what I am because you didn't die for me. You didn't die for me. You said, well, you got everything but one. And you don't have that one because you don't have the pass keys to heaven. Amen. I'm not going to heaven on some denomination. I'm going to heaven because Jesus washed my sins away with his blood. Amen. Friends, listen carefully here. Listen carefully. When he saved us, we are kept by his power. And if we can lose our salvation, then he was not powerful to keep us saved. He wasn't. And he cannot say he was because he cannot lie. All right. Stick with me. I call your attention to the word stumbling that is used. The word was used to speak of a sure, my friend, many of you don't know this, a sure sword-footed horse when they put the shoes on horses. Listen. Which does not stumble or of a man who did not fall into error. This bears an interesting point. Let's get in it. Stumbling is the act
which precedes falling, which is how, friends, television and radio translates the word. And so Jude is simply stating that God is not only able to keep us from falling, but he is able to keep us from stumbling. You haven't been in this. I was, when I lived in Chicago, one night, I came home from work at 9, and the lights in the street, all of the lights was out. So I used my imagination, because I had been coming that way for a number of years, and so my imagination was that they just stay in the street and walk where it's wide. I knew when I got to the corner of my house, and all of my walking, listening and watching, I was praying. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And when I got to the corner, I lived in the corner building. When I got to the corner building, I had to feel my way to the door. When I touched the door, the lights came on. I hear what you're saying. Well, that's a coincidence. Well, then why didn't you turn them on before then? Everything happens to Ephraim. It's not a coincidence. It's the divine will of Almighty God. Amen. My doctor said to me more than once, he said, you know, I like to be your doctor, but I don't like to have to deal with you. You can't have it two ways. I said, why you said that? He said, because when you come here, you know too much about yourself. Amen. I do not cuss. Who knows more about me than me? I don't care what kind of degree he has, how many doctors he has. He doesn't know much about me as I know about myself. And then another thing, person, I don't mean any harm, and I don't y'all take it this personally. Another thing, he was 47 and I was 48. And the saint said, Some of you young people have messed your life up 19 years old and no more than Abraham. There's no such thing. You cannot learn as much as Abraham, though, and you're 19 and 20, or 21 or 22. You just got here. I forgot more than you have learned since you've been here. When my nephew comes back here, I want him to come and tell you. We was with him at my sister-in-law's funeral, and he was telling my other great nephews, he said, well, you know, when Uncle Ephraim was 15, 14 and 15 and 16, he was telling us how to invest money, and he wasn't working. Yes, I did. Of course, what happened, when I got my little allowance, I always get it broken up. It changed what I'm talking about. So when I put some in my pocket, and I didn't know how many people I'm going to see that want to get my money, so I put some in my shoe. So next week, they are broken. I got some shoe money. You just listen to how they'll tell you. And I said to them, I said, when you go to high school, you're going to have, because the way they look, you're going to have girls after you. Don't run after them. Look and see which one you like. Because you can't like them all. Some of them are not likable. Is that the correct word? They're too bossy. They're too smart. However, if we will keep ourselves, listen carefully. Here it is in a nutshell. When we stumble, it is not God's doing, not God's fault, but it is because we have made a deliberate choice to violate, my friend, and deviate from the word of God when we fall. However, if we would keep ourselves in the word of God As we shared last week, Jude states that he is not only able to keep us from falling, but he's able to keep us from stumbling. Amen. That's why the psalmist said, listen, said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let me reiterate here and get in the word and let the word get in you. It is how God keep us from stumbling. I grew up in a house, I left at 16 going on 17, and I never heard my parents talk about nobody. And if we started, if you had been you, you could have been worse. And I know they know some people, because I knew some when I was young. Never did I hear mama say, she know this, and she don't have this, and she not this. And my dad just said, when you talk about other people, that means you're crazy. I don't know where you got that from, and I didn't ask it. I just know we wasn't allowed to do it. And friends, he is God. He is involved in a gracious work of preservation. The glorious work of a presentation is, notice, verse 24, you just read it. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I can't present myself to God, but he can. And when you stay in the word, you learn things. You learn things. As I was reading recently, and it said, don't become like the world, because the world will not help you, but it will help you destroy yourself. Don't become worldly because other folks are worldly. Amen. I said earlier, Congress, President Trump, Governor Brown cannot make peace for us. Peace comes from God. And God didn't tell us he gonna leave the world peace. He said to his disciples, I give you peace. My peace. And how long is his peace supposed to live with you? And so what you talking about, you praying for peace in your house and you a troublemaker? You are praying for peace for you and you create trouble for other people? When you get saved, I wish I could tell it the way I feel it. When you really get saved, everybody go to church now, say you. When you get saved, you see this one flower? It's in many cuts. And when you get saved, you're among many people. But your salvation never leaves. It's in one ring. If you can't take peace with you from this church, you don't have no peace. Let me put it another way. Let me go over here. If you are miserable at home, you're going to bring that mess to this church. If you are cheap for yourself, you're going to be cheap with Almighty God. And he told you, if you take care of me with your tithes and offerings, I didn't say that. God said, if you take care of me, how many windows in this church? He said, I'll open up the what? And I do what? Now, friend, if he'd have told me a door, I'd have been reluctant. But the window, what he said, if you miss this window, I'd come through that window. He has never failed me. I have given my last dime in tithe. And the next week, I stumble up on some money. Let me tell you something else since I brought that up. I forgot to give my tithes. I had them made out for this month. But here they are today. You see, I can't spend God's tithes, because then when he give me some money, it won't go as far as it should go. Let me put it another way. Tommy, I can pick on Tommy now. It's Tommy's turn. I went 2 weeks ago. They told me that I had to have a certain color to wear for the anniversary, including a tie. I went to buy a tie, what they told me. So when I got in the store, the guy said, "Oh, where have you been?" I said, "Oh, I've been busy." And I said, I told him what I wanted, and he took me to that. He said, "Now this one is this and that." I said, "I don't want to hear all of that. I just want to find a tie that I need a color." So when I got the tie I needed a color, Tommy, I said, "Oh, you got another one. Look, send me to that." I said, "If I buy this one, you're going to throw this one in, right?" He put his hand around my shoulder, and he gave me the second one. That means my money stretched. And if you have witnessed, that is because you have followed that. Amen. See, I know it. Some of you, God has given you favor, and you're killing it. You're killing the favor God has given you. Amen. I said you're killing it. Still using it. Amen. 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 I am going to start a class to teach young people about business. I have been training about business and money. I want to teach them how to deal. I went to school 2 years for just to learn about budgets. Not for me to deal with the government. God didn't save us to sit around here to go to heaven. We're saved to enjoy this life. Amen. Amen. And nowhere in the Bible does God want you to be poor all your life. You don't have to have no bank account. You can just look rich. Look like, raise your standards. Raise them high. Amen. Last time I said this, I got some letters, and so I say it again because it's pushing me. That's why I could not ever marry again and bring somebody home with me, don't have nothing. What you marry me for? You don't have nothing. I'm going to bring myself. What? Let's move on. So, church, the glorious work of presentation. Notice I said verse 24. And I just love that he's able to keep us from falling. God's work in protection is so that God can complete his work in perfection. That is, he graciously preserves us so that one day he will gloriously present us. Jude is making, my friend, reference to the glorious reunion of Christ and his church. Hallelujah. People say, "I don't have to join no church." You better join something, because otherwise you won't see Jesus. Jesus, you can't get in heaven without going by Jesus. And so if you're going to go by him and don't have to join church, don't have to join him, you have lost something. And let me tell you, you young people, this will help you. When people talk to you about Jesus and deny him and denounce him, you tell them, "Don't worry, Satan, just like Jesus, has an end. Satan has an end. Satan's life is short-lived. He'll soon be over. Just like Jesus is going to rapture us out of here. and he would be over. So don't let them make you feel bad about Satan, about who he is, what he is. His days are numbered.
Yes, yes.
Amen. And he can't go by. Church, I'd rather take a chance on Jesus than to take a chance on that thing you carry in your water called Washington and Lincoln. Lincoln's dead and Washington's dead, and they won't get up again. But Jesus has already got up. Church, on that day, he will present us to the Father as a glorious church. The word, my friends, faultless, speaks of being without spot or unblemish when he presented us. The word was used to characterize an animal which was without blemish and was fit to be offered to God for a sacrifice. Thus, one day we will be accepted to God in his person of the Lord Jesus Christ without spot or blemish. He gonna present us. Church, Paul spoke of this in Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or rancor or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, some people make you believe they are super holy down here. And they're holy, but they're not super. There's nobody on planet Earth can live 100% perfect. Is that right, person? You say, but I'm living this, you're lying. In human flesh, you can't do it. You say, but I don't run around. Well, that's good. You don't run around. Maybe you're too old or you don't feel good. I don't know what it is. But you don't have to run around to do wrong. You can sit at home in your rocking chair and do wrong, think wrong, act wrong, do wrong. Buy a brand new car and don't want nobody to ride to church with you. That's wrong. Amen. Somebody gets to me, well, you know, I don't have to worry. I know I'm a saint of God. Sure, you're a saint, but you haven't arrived yet to be an ain't. You ain't perfect. You ain't that holy. You ain't supernatural. You ain't God. You ain't the Holy Spirit. You ain't no angel. You ain't whatever God is, you ain't that. You're on your way to be that. Amen. Amen. So, church, first, there was a stage of the marriage covenant. The groom, listen to this carefully, because some of you are waiting to get married now. The groom would leave his father's house and travel to his respective bride's house. Listen, brethren, to pay a ransom price. Not no license. When the agreement was made, the second stage began when the bride and groom drank wine as a symbol of unity. They were now considered to be married. Although they did not begin living together, that couldn't be in America. And the third stage began after the groom had prepared a place for his bride. He would come back for his bride after all of the, my friend, preparation were made, and as they saw him coming, they should shout, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." The fourth stage, the groom would actually get the bride, take her to her father's house for the wedding ceremony, and present her to his father. Yet just as the Jewish bridegroom left his father's house and traveled to the home of the prospective bride to pay the ransom price so that the Lord Jesus left the glory of heaven. Help me, Holy Ghost. Enter, my friend, enter a sin-cursed earth to pay the price for our salvation. And after the marriage was finalized, the Jewish bride and the groom drank wine as a symbol of unity. Likewise, the Lord Jesus, the evening before his crucifixion, took the cup as a symbol of our unity with him. Just as the Jewish bridegroom returned to his father's house to prepare a place for the bride, so the Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven to complete construction on our heavenly residence. Hallelujah. No blueprints. Friends, then just as the Jewish bridegroom, after making final preparation, returned unannounced to receive his bride. You see how much he had to go through just to get married? So the Lord Jesus will return unannounced to receive his bride. So the Lord Jesus will return, let me repeat, unannounced with the cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Finally, just as the Jewish bridegroom would receive his new bride and take her away to her father's house for the wedding, so too the Lord Jesus will come and receive us, take us away to the Father's house, and will at that time present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Church, Christ will have the special joy of presenting his bride, the church before the Father's throne. I'm looking for that day. That there will be no more sorrow, no more disappointment, no more frustration. I'll be in the presence of Almighty God. It was the anticipation of this joy that helped him endure the suffering of the cross. For Hebrews 12 and 2, I looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What an accomplishment he made for us. Hallelujah. Church, a God who is unsurpassed in his worship. We are into something and don't even realize. Amen. If America catch on fire today and burn up, I won't burn up. My soul can't burn. And I can't go to hell because I've been washed clean. I cannot be condemned because my sins have been forgiven. I don't care what you think and what you say, you are not the judge. You are human judges and they'll pass away. But the judge I'm talking about never died. He came from nowhere and made everything. Where there was nothing, he made something. When there was no air, he breathed and air came in existence. When there was no earth, he made the earth. He made the rivers and the ocean and put all kind of specimens in the water. And nobody, my friend, nobody had any fighting until Adam fell. we got something going. Amen. Every now and then, in my own house, every now and then, Tommy, I jumps up. And I said, look at him. I said to him yesterday, Lord, I just got to thank you. I don't want nothing. Thank you. Thank you for 79 years, and the devil was mad and the enemy was mad, but you were glorified. Thank you. Every now and then, you got to tell it. Amen. Listen, church, a God who is not asking us to help him, we are asking him to help us. To conclude his blessings, his epistle, Jude goes out with a bang. Jude becomes personally involved in the worship of God. That's what I like. He didn't just do it and write it down. He explained it. He brought God in everything. That's what I like about him. Jude, notice verse 25. That's what you read, 24 and 25. Verse 25. The only wise God. Only. There's no other. I don't care what Russia thinks, what they've done. They're not God. He killed that. He killed the first man that thought he knew everything. Remember Stalin? He died. And anybody else getting in God's way is going to die. You can't block the power of the universe. You can only talk about it, but you certainly can't block it. Notice verse 25. To the only wise God I say, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and for how long? What kind of God we have? Forever. This is not a note of thanksgiving. It is a note of praise. Praise. Some of y'all are against us having praise here. But as long as I'm here, we're going to have some praise. And the reason we're going to have some praise, when I got up this morning, you wasn't there. When I was saved, you wasn't there. When he brought me from the hell of dying, you wasn't there. When I was dying in the hospital, you wasn't there. And since he brought me back, I've got to praise him. He's worthy. Yes, to be praised. I tell you, he's worthy. And if you all don't want to praise him, get out of my way. I got to praise him. Thank you. Oh, that's you for me. Thank you for who you are. Nobody was more trained academically and theologically than Paul, and he praised him. Let me put it another way. Nobody did more stuff than David, but David praised him in the street, and he didn't even have no clothes on. He forgot about his clothes and praised God because God had did so much for him. And let me say this, it's not a racial thing, it's a reality. If there's anybody owe God some praise, it's black folks. You owe God some praise. If it had not been for God, many of us would have been dead long ago. But since he saved me, I got to praise him. He loves it. Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy. Church, I repeat to you, thanksgiving denotes the goodness of God, while praise denotes the greatness of God. If he brings you to it, he can get you through it. If you are lonely, praise him. If you're broke, thank him. If you don't know which way to go, ask him. I tell you, he's so wise, he don't have to look around. He can look straight and tell you what tomorrow is going to bring. Judas denoted and added, my friends, adoration, the graciousness of God. How many of y'all know you serve? I wish I had time to finish, but I can't. How many of y'all know you serve a great God? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Let me give you a testimony that I never heard of in my life. Never. I'll bring it next week and whenever and have it read. I never read. I never heard. Never. I never heard that a pastor's anniversary is Sunday. And he didn't stay for it. Chava said, the reason I came, because I promised you that I would come. And he said, I don't want to have two different kinds of words. So they love me, they can have it, and put a chair there. It was the largest one, he said, they've ever had. And he wasn't there. I'm going somewhere and I'm through. I'm going somewhere. There's nobody quite like him. Listen carefully. My cousin from Texas, he didn't get home until Monday evening late. His appreciation was Sunday. And it was overcrowded. Now listen carefully, because if you don't listen, you'll miss a blessing. Listen carefully. They weren't there to help celebrate. But listen carefully. Now just listen carefully. I said listen carefully. Listen carefully. When Mama died at her service, she wasn't there. But she paid, before she died, she paid for two limousines. The largest they had in that area, she paid for two. She left $800 to buy flowers. She wanted a blue and a pink casket. She paid for it. She didn't have to do that. But because she had been trained that if you try, God will finish the rest. When we got there, we had to have another limousine. They said, your parents were so nice. We'll throw this one in. Now listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully, friends. You don't have to be everywhere at the same time. But God is there for you. And if he's there for you, the devil in hell can't stop him. You hear me? They both said, if you need us again, let us know. You telling me that's favor. That's God. That's God. And then they didn't rush back. And they got more than they ever got. Now only God can do that. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. Come here, young man. I want to give you something. What you gonna do? I'm gonna give it to you. You got to do something to get it. You see what he did? He reached his hand out. I said, come here, sir. I want to give you something. What are you doing? What's going on? What you going to say? What? Thank you. You don't have it yet. What else you going to do? Save it. No, you haven't got it yet. There's something you have to do before you get it. You see, he took a little time. That's what God is. He takes time. Then when he took time, he didn't only reach it out. He opened it up. I only gave you this demonstration is that God will bless you in spite of hell.
not sometimes, every time. I've been here 47 years. This church has never been in foreclosure. We have never missed the light bill, never a gas bill, never a telephone bill. When I came here, they was taking, you remember, they were taking two offerings on Sunday morning. I said, we can't do that. In July, we have to stop. If we who are saints can't handle the saints' business, we need to go out of business. We're not out. Still in business. I'm in business with God. I don't know who you're in business with. One thing I know in this life, I know this. I have haters all over this state. But they, in order to bring me their cheer, put it here. Open it up. I want you to get it. Here's my haters here. And here I am. And all for them to get to me, they got to get past this chair. And this chair is God. You can't cross over God unless he lets you. Amen. You twist the chair, I move, and God stands still. You'll trip over it. Don't be confused with who you serve. And a lot of you are confused. And the last one, Brother Holloway, yesterday, somebody sent us a check for $500 for the senior house. You say, well, I'm not going to give him nothing. God got, if they asked for $100, so he had five people to take your place. You can't block him. You can't stop him. There's nobody like him. Nobody.